I also want to, announce, sadly, about 1:45 this morning, Kaylee Scott went home to be with the Lord. And I know a lot of you have already heard over the prayer chain, and because you're connected to the Scott family. And Melinda and I got to go over and pray with the Scotts and with Kaylee yesterday. And she was clearly heading towards Jesus. And as I prayed, as Melinda and I prayed over her, I read out loud. The verse from 2 Corinthians, that to be apart from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And it is terrible to have a child lost. But to see her in such crippled form and to know that she is free of this body of death, that she has been renewed by Jesus, that she is in his very presence by virtue of no longer being held by this body, is a profound victory. What God did at 1:45 in the morning for Kaylee Scott is beyond our comprehension. And while we have great, it tears our souls out on this side of heaven. I can't wait. I can't wait to see Kaylee again and understand it from the other side, looking at it from that place where redemption has been completed. But I just want to take a second before I started to pray for the Scotts, pray for all of you that are key families. This just happened. Feels like a few hours ago, because most of us were asleep when that occurred. And so please be in prayer for Dave and Michelle Scott. Hunter is coming back from a Boy Scout camp this morning, and so he'll be walking back into the loss of his big sister. And so please be in prayer for that family. Join me. Father God, we come to you this morning, and we just pour out our hearts. We are broken people when one of our own goes home to be with you. We are broken people when we see a child die. God, for 6.5 years, we have walked through Kaylee's cancer, and we have prayed, God, that you would heal her. And God, I'm confident that even though it's not the way that I wanted, that even though it's not the way we desired, that God, you've healed her, that she is pure and she is clean, and she will never be ravaged by sin again. God, we are broken on this side, but we are hopeful. We commit to setting our eyes upon you. God, we will call the Scots in the moments where they feel that they are winning the battle over sorrow and loss, and in the moments when they are not, God, we are committed to you to give them an example of one that is in every way, Father, focused completely on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. God, I pray that you, through Kaylee's funeral, through memorials, through the thousands and thousands of people that have been praying for Kaylee and the Scott family, that, Father, you would do work that we cannot imagine. Pray that we'd be found faithful in the midst of that, and that it would just spread the gospel. Spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth through Kaylee's story. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, so if you haven't turned to Ephesians 3, go ahead and turn there now. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 4. When you read this, you can perceive my... Now, that's the Apostle Paul talking. He's written to this to the church in Ephesus, which is why we call it the letter to the Ephesians. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. In other words, he's been describing what it's like to follow Jesus. He's been describing what it's like to be taken hold of by the gospel. You can perceive my insight into this mystery, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery is this, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. Now, you do realize that when this was written, from the mindset of those that were Jewish, there were two kinds of people. There were Jews, or those that would be going to heaven someday. And there were Gentiles, those poor, dirty people that had no opportunity to ever have a relationship with God. And so, throughout history, even though the promises in the Old Testament all pointed to all men will know God through this grace that I am pouring out through the seed of Abraham, through that seed, through the Messiah that is to come, even though that is abundantly clear, it was not until Jesus Christ came that the message for the Gentiles, in other words, all the rest of us, unless you're Jewish, all the rest of the people, was really kind of opened up. The Messiah was not just for the Jews. The Messiah is for everyone. There's a very universal application of the good news. And so Paul's speaking to this. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, listen to this phrase, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to who? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Rulers and authorities, not here, in the heavenlies. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you to not lose heart over what I am suffering, because what I am suffering is for your glory. What a great passage on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at our outlines. Number one, letter A, in a short letter to the Ephesians, Paul celebrates in announcing this universal impact of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is for everyone. It's not just for the people that you think are deserving of the gospel. That has an impact on us, doesn't it? How many people do we know that we've mentioned Jesus, or they've mentioned Jesus, and we're convinced they're never coming to God? We all feel that way, right? We all see people in our lives that are just so far away from God that we just don't think that they will ever come. That's how the Jews always felt about the Gentiles. They just said they're on the outside. They are rejected. And yet Paul comes in and says, no, you've got to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit says everyone is eligible to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Going further, letter B, Paul humbly celebrates God's choice of the very least of all the saints. And who is that who occupies that space in Paul's writing? The Apostle Paul does. Paul is the one that is the least of all saints. Do you see that just a few verses later, that the gospel is sufficient for the least of all saints, but it's also sufficient for who? Rulers and authorities in heavenly places. What's he trying to say there? He says from the very least to the very most, no matter who you are or what you are, the gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient, wholly sufficient for you. And he describes it not in terms of just a message of salvation. He describes it in much broader terms. Let's take a look at what that looks like. Letter C, in the middle of his celebration, Paul notes that the church And that's you and me. Did you see that down there? It was that verse that I asked you to pause on in verse 10. So that through the church, you should circle that in your Bibles and put, that's me. That's us. That's those of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. In the middle of his celebration of what the gospel does, Paul notes that the church, that's you and me, we are to be ambassadors, revealers of the manifold wisdom of God. Now, manifold, letter D, means literally multicolored. It means diversity. Isn't that interesting? It means rainbow, which in our culture has been so perverted, I think. The diversity, manifold, you know, rainbowish kind of thing. I was struck as I was reading this. You could also write this so that through the rainbow wisdom of God. Now, we don't do that because that's like a mixing of metaphor and you know, we try to stick to what it actually says. But so that through the church, the manifold, but there's something profound about that idea that manifold means multicolored. It means diverse. God's wisdom has tremendous diversity. The gospel is not just about the message of Jesus Christ. It's about everything. It's about all of it. It's about healing. It's about wisdom. It's about what God can change in your life. It's about what we looked at this morning. I'm so excited for this opportunity that we have to go through Financial Peace University. I have spoken to many, many couples and individuals that have gone through FPU. And their lives have been changed by the process of being able to get out of debt and have a plan that they're both on the same page for. Now, you might be sitting there and going, you know what? I want to talk to my tax guy about that, Chris, not my pastor. I don't want to talk to you about that kind of thing. What do you know about money? Very little, by the way. My wife knows 10 times more about money than I do. I've learned a ton from her and from her father and from the family that I married into. Wonderful, wonderful, frugal, and magnificent at staying out of debt. And that kind of thing. And when I came into the marriage, I brought with me the U-Haul of debt, and we were able to pay all that off. Why do I mention this? Why do I take time? Is it just to highlight an event that we have coming up? No, it's because God is interested in sharing the manifold wisdom of God through you and your life. That means that God wants to change what you do with debt. He wants to change what you do with your money. He wants to have followers that are committed to the kingdom of God. I am feeling better. Do you see that connection? The Christian life is not just about the spiritual things that we keep over in that box. It is manifold. It is variegated, multicolored. It is magnificent. This is what God wants to change in our lives. And I can't think of an area that is in this culture that we live in. When we think of how could we reach people in East Long Beach, what is one of the most universal issues that people in our area have? Money, debt, hard time making ends meet, bills. Do you know that in over 80% of marriages, spouses view money in a different way? That was true of me. And it required the manifold wisdom of God to change that in my life. Because I had to recognize that God was interested in all of me. He wasn't just interested in one small part. He was interested in the whole package. And then it says here that through the church, we are called to be revealers, ambassadors. He calls it an ambassador in chapter 6. We've looked at ambassador previously in Paul's letters to the Corinthians. He calls on us to be ambassadors of what? The manifold wisdom of God. The whole package of what God's wisdom means. It means we bring healing to those that are broken. We bring an ability to control and pay off and use money for the kingdom of God in our lives. It means that we are sharing a lifestyle that is rooted in all the things that are in Scripture. That we are not just about worrying about sin, that we are about living out the manifold wisdom of God. This is who we're called to be. This is what we're called to do. That's why when we're looking at our children's facility and we want to put in some TV sets, like you guys on the sides, you guys have got those flat screens that I always look at the back of every week. I think, well, that's good. That communicates over to the sides certain things and allows us to use those spaces more effectively. We have the same issue when it comes to our kids. Have you noticed that the generation that's growing up is really, really technical savvy? I don't know, unless you're living under a rock. You've probably noticed that. Even little babies will look at the newspaper or a magazine and they go, they try to flick their hand across it so that it'll turn the page. And they are confused and they look at their parents like, why isn't it turning? This iPad's broken. And that kind of thing, right? We live in that generation and we want to reach that generation in that way. Why? Because we're going to utilize every single thing under the sun to be able to describe the gospel of Jesus Christ to people and invite them into the manifold wisdom of God. It impacts all of who we are. It is multicolored. It is diverse. God's wisdom is like a rainbow, a massive rainbow of blending colors. Each color complements the next. Colors stack on top of colors and provide more and more wisdom for us. God's people, you and I, that are followers of Jesus, are revealers of this awesome wisdom. Amen and praise God. What a great thing to be called into. That God does not just step out of heaven and put a giant megaphone onto His voice and communicate to all of us in some sort of, you know, ethereal manner. This is what I need you to do. God has chosen to use the weak, the broken, the simple things of this world, that's us, to be able to communicate His manifold wisdom. And He does it not through our successes, but through our failures. I was a total, abject failure at money. And God changed my life. God changed my life. And that's why I'm excited to see God do the same thing in other people's lives. Because I talk to a lot of you, not just people in this community, but you. And what do you know? Oh, Chris, I can't afford to give on a Sunday morning. We are far, far too deep in debt. Been there. Understand that. God's manifold wisdom coming your way. Praise God. He's doing great things. This is why we sink ourselves deeply into our growth groups. This is why we sink ourselves deeply into this fall, which is just a few weeks away. This is why we sink ourselves deeply into things like FPU. Now, this next, you'll have to forgive me. I forgot to put the verse reference down on the outline. And it is Luke 19 is where I'd like you to turn next. Because I feel like God has shared so many of these things and we kind of keep them bottled up. God has shared so much of His wisdom with us and we oftentimes don't turn and share that manifold wisdom of God with the world. And so I was thinking of what is it in my life that God has really pressed on me that would encourage me to share these things. And rather than it be some sort of, you know, psych you up, you know, kind of get you cheerleading story from me, I thought I would read this parable. This parable is in Luke 19, starting in verse 11. Luke 19, 11. It's the parable of the 10 minas. Mina was 3 months of salary. So that just gives you an idea. 10 minas would be 30 months of salary. So, you know, pretty good chunk of change for most of us. As they heard these things, He proceeded to tell a parable. because he was nearing Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And so Jesus Christ is obviously going to inform them that's not the case. And he said, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him. And they sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Now, don't mistake this. This is God, Christ, Holy Spirit, that is the nobleman, going away for a period of time. And in the midst of that, the world is rebellious against God, does not want to follow God. That's pretty obvious to most of us. Hostile towards things of God. We do not want him to reign over us. And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they had gained by doing business on his behalf. This is the idea of being an ambassador. This is the idea of going out in the name, in the name of Jesus and doing business on his behalf. This is the spreading of the manifold wisdom of God. The first servant came before him and he said, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. 10 minas more. One mina multiplied into 10. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. The second one came and said, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. And then another came and said, Lord, here is your mina. I laid it away in a handkerchief. In other words, I folded it up and I buried it. I wanted to keep what you gave me and I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything with it. And he's excited about that, by the way. For I was afraid, verse 21. I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. I was afraid of losing it. And I know what your expectations are. And so I buried it. And he said, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected. Why didn't you put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said, Lord, he already has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. Before the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. That is one intense parable. This story, I believe, gives us a picture of what we are to do with what God has given to us. This story, I believe, gives us an idea of what the purpose of God's giving us as much as he has, what the purpose of that really is. God never intended for you and I to hold on to this stuff and keep it for ourselves. He has always intended that we would take what he has provided to us and that we would multiply it, that we would give it away, that we would go to the highways and the byways and we would be entrepreneurial in the way that we approach our Christian life, constantly trying to invest who we are, what we have, all that God has given to us for the purposes of the kingdom of God. And as we sit here, just a couple of weeks before fall, a couple of weeks before we start into our new endeavors on the Gospel Project, as we sit here just a few weeks ahead of FPU starting up and women's ministry getting together and youth ministries relaunching and children's ministries relaunching and all the stuff that we've got going on, I wonder, where do you fall in this story? Minus, in other books, are called talents. And so I tried to find something that rhymed with a hot potato. You know, because I feel like that's what God gives us. When God gives us grace, it's burning hot in our lives. And we oftentimes bury it until it cools. And then we hold on to it, and we're very happy with it. But we know that the value of it is not quite as intense and not quite as hot as it used to be. And sometimes you come to church and you get it all warmed up and it feels quite cozy to you. And, you know, you've got your warm potato and that provides you with warmth. But what God has given to us, all the things that God has given to us, are smoking hot. And as we have these things, they should be in our hands very loosely. We should be bouncing them from hand to hand to hand and looking for some poor sap that's totally dead cold and go, here, and throw it at them. This is what God has called us to do with the manifold wisdom that He has shared with us. This is what He has called us to do in every aspect of our life. Nothing is off limits. We speak to one another about the full counsel of God. The whole story. The manifold wisdom. The unbelievably colorful wisdom, rainbow-like, of God. Isn't it interesting that around the throne of God, what emanates around the throne of God? A rainbow. I cannot help but see the parallel between the book of Revelation that we'll be getting back into in a few weeks and this picture of God's wisdom. That from the very throne of God emanates His wisdom. And it shines. It shines in its multi-variegated, multi-colorful way onto His church. So that His church could be the ambassadors of these truths to the whole world. This is part of our call in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite the worship band to come back up right now so that we can respond to these things. I pray this morning that you would ask yourself the question, what am I doing with what God's given me? Do I really treat what God has given me like a hot potato? Do I really treat it in such a way that when He comes back and asks me, what did you do with what you were given, that I can say I've been actively giving it away? I would challenge you with these things. And as Pastor Scott leads us and we contemplate how we give away all of these things from God to others, I would pray that you would ask the Lord Himself to give you strength, to see the opportunities that He gives you in your week, to see the opportunities He gives you in your home and at your job and as you're heading back to school, students. Ask God to give you the right eyes so that you can be the man or woman that is sharing the manifold wisdom of God right from His church and into this world. This is what He has designed us to do. Let's stand and worship Him together.